Yes, everyone should know the truth. The truth is, the matter, Rabbi Fine asked me a few weeks ago to speak. I told him I didn't really want to speak because no one will show up to hear me. He said, well, what if we announce it's Rabbi Shulman and then lots of people will come? And then at the last second, I said, okay, then I'd feel better about it. So thank you for going along, Rabbi Fine. You know, my ego has survived. I wanted to talk a little bit about an interesting topic, and that is when it comes to our women chayiv and lechem mishnah. We know in general there is a rule that women are pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grava, any time-bound positive commandments. However, there are exceptions to the rule. Like one of the exceptions, of course, is Shabbos. It says that shomer v'zachar b'dibur echad nemrum, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of Shabbos, he went and he somehow miraculously said the word Shomer and Zachar together. Why did he do that? Just to prove that he could? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to prove that he could. He could. Why did he do it? To teach us that there's two aspects to Shabbos. There is the aspect of Shmira and the aspect of Zechira. Shmira means that Shabbos has low sases. There are negative commandments when it comes to Shabbos. Things that you're not allowed to do. You can't do malachas on Shabbos. And also Shabbos has positive commandments. There's things that we have to do. Make Kiddush, make Havdalah, etc. So the Gemara tells us that the reason that Hashem set it together is to tell Kosh Mishi Yeshno B'Shmira, Yeshno B'Zechira. That unlike usually when there are women are pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and technically all the mitzvahs of Shabbos should be considered, all the positive mitzvahs should be a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Kiddush, for example, it's very much a positive commandment. It's very much time-bound. You only do it on Shabbos, right? So therefore, women should be pater from this. So we have the fact that Hashem did shomer v'zachar b'dibur echad. That tells us that, in fact, no women are chayiv. When it comes to Shabbos, not only in the negative commandments, like they're chayiv in all negative commandments, but even in the positive commandments. Okay, but the question is, when you take a mitzvah like Lechem Mishnah, what is Lechem Mishnah? Is that a commandment? Is it a positive mitzvah? Is it counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs? Where does that fit in? So let's start at the very beginning. We'll start with where do we know that you need to have Lechem Mishnah at all? That comes from Parshas Beshalach. In Parshas Beshalach, when the people are first introduced to the man, it says, "Vayhi b'yom hashishi raktu lechem mishnah shnei omer la'echad v'yivu kol nisei yehuda v'yigidu l'moshe." Every day, everyone would go out and they would pick up the man, and it was an omer la'gulgolas, a certain amount of man. No matter how much echad hamarbe, even if you went, you tried to collect more. If you tried to collect less. Everybody ended up with the same amount, with the amount that they needed. Miraculously, on Friday when they went out, everyone did what they always did, and they ended up with twice as much. So they came back and they said, Moshe, you're not going to believe this. So he said, oh, in fact, hu asher diber, yes, that's what Hashem told us, that we're going to have a special miracle on Erev Shabbos, that because you're not going to be able to do malacha on Shabbos, so therefore, on Friday, miraculously, the amount of man will double. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that based on that, we have a tradition that we have Lechem Mishnah. In order to commemorate this miracle, the miracle of the fact that the man fell double, we in fact have the Lechem Mishnah. We have two loaves at the meals on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us in number two, Amar of Abba, B'Shabbos Chayv Adam Lutzoal Shtei Kikaros, that a person has to, on Shabbos, have Lechem Mishnah, have two loaves. The Ksiv Lechem Mishnah. From the word Lechem Mishnah, means in this case the word Mishnah is from the word Shnayim, two. You have to have two. Amar Rav Ashi, Chazin Lechem Rav Kahana, Denokat, Tardi Abbas Chado. He said, Rav Ashi said, when I went to the house of Rav Kahana, he would have two loaves of bread, but he would only cut one of them. Amar Lok to Ksiv. Why? Because the miracle wasn't that they ate twice as much. That's a miracle that many people are Makayim on Shabbos. That's, wow, unbelievable. And calories, of course, don't count on Shabbos, as we all know. That's a Dover Poshet, so that's why it's not a problem. But it doesn't say the miracle wasn't how much they ate. The miracle is how much they gathered. So therefore, the person holds Lecha Mishnah, and the person holds it, then you only have to cut one, that's enough. Rav Zera have a Bata Akula Sherusa. No, Rav Zera cut the whole thing up. That much you're going to eat? Two full challahs? It looks like a shtickle chazerish, don't you think? Rabbi Sanusa is Aramaic for Chazerish. So Amar Lei came with the Kol Yoma Lo Avid. Right? Now, they didn't think that. Usually you saw every day that Reb Zeira would go out, he'd have himself a normal amount of bread. So therefore, people realized he was doing it just because it was Shabbos, so that wasn't a problem. So what do we see from here? We see that there is a drasha from the word Lecha Mishnah that we have to have what we call Lecha Mishnah. We have to have two loaves of bread. The topic of Lecha Mishnah, we're not going to go into it because we have a limited amount of time, but it's a fascinating, fascinating topic. There's much more to be said about it than you would. For example, there's lots of interesting questions that come up. So let's say you have a situation of a 3-day yontif, right? Or let's say you're a 2-day yontif. So let's say yontif fell out on a Friday, so you have a Friday. How much mun would fall out on Thursday? Any math majors? What do you think? It's Thursday, and tomorrow's going to be Yontif, and then the day afterwards is going to be Shabbos. So when on Thursday they go out to pick up their mun, how much mun do you think they got?
Three.
They wouldn't get Lechem Mishnah, but they would get Lechem Mishulash, you would think. So if that's the case, why don't we have three loaves in that case? Wouldn't that make sense? Hey, Rosh Hashanah, we have 2 days Yontif, even Eretz Yisrael. So shouldn't we have Lechem Mishulash in those days? That's an interesting discussion. Did the mun fall on Yontif? I just made an assumption and everyone went along with me. Well, why do you assume I was telling you the truth? Wait, would the mun fall on Yontif? Yes, no? Why didn't the mun fall on Shabbos? Can't carry it? Can you carry a nantif? For the sake of food, can you carry a nantif? For sure, right? Ochel nefesh. So would you assume that the man did fall on nantif then? Right, so what am I... Right, so it happens to be in Machlokes, believe it or not, between Rashi and Tosos. Rashi in Parshas Bereishis makes a comment that the Baruch Hayu Baman, that said that Hashem was Bevorech. When he blessed Shabbos, he blessed it that there's a double mun. Rashi says, as opposed to Yontif, that doesn't get this bracha. However, the Gemara in Beitza, Tosus points out, seems to assume not that way. That there seems to be a machokas whether the mun fell or not. So what's one of the nafkaminas might be whether you have lechem meshulash, meaning that day, right? And right, the whole surah, do we have lechem meshulash? You would imagine if the mun didn't fall on Yontif and there was a miracle, then you'd have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif. If the mun did fall on Yontif, so there was no miracle, so you wouldn't have to have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif. Do we have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif? So what does that indicate? We're commemorating a miracle, that means that the miracle probably happened, which means that it probably didn't fall on Yontif. Right? Right? So then why aren't we having Lechem Mishulash? But that's not this topic, right? So we'll just move on. So we have here, there's a concept of Lechem Mishnah. Is this a biblical obligation or a rabbinic obligation? If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan explains, where do we learn any of this from? He says, Garmis Garsidim B'Shabbos, number 3, Amar Rav Abba B'Shabbos Chayv, Olam B'Tzol Shnei Kikar, Ziksiv Lechem Mishnah. Chomer B'Monksiv, so look at our pasuk. Look at number 1. Vahi b'yom ha-shishi loktu lechem mishnah shnei ha-omer le'echad. They picked up lechem mishnah, 2 omers per person. How would that pasuk read without the words lechem mishnah? Right? It says vahi b'yom ha-shishi loktu shnei omer le'echad. Everybody took 2 omers. Anything lost in the pasuk by taking out the words lechem mishnah? No. So those words lechem mishnah would seem to be extraneous. So the Aruch Shulchan says that's what's going on here. We know that there are no extra words in the Torah, and we could have taken out these words Lechem Mishnah, and there would have been nothing lost whatsoever. So the Aruch Shulchan says, so that's what we're learning. So why did they put the words Lechem Mishnah there? The whole reason that the words Lechem Mishnah are in the pasuk is because it wants to teach us that we on Shabbos have to have Lechem Mishnah. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, Lechem Mishnah, Chomer, B'mon, K'siv, V'hi B'yom Shishi, Loktu, Lechem Mishnah, Shnei HaOmer L'Echad, V'hach Lechem Mishnah, M'yutar. That's totally extraneous. that we looked up Lachtu Shnei HaOmer Le'echad Ve'ein Ze El Kefil Dvarim Vozeh Darshim Nishazeh Inyan Bifnei Atzmo. So we have to learn that. Obviously, you have to learn something new from that. That's something new that we learn from that is that there is something called Lecha Mishnah that we have to have Lecha Mishnah at the meals. V'hachi Pirusha the Halechem Shosuda Shabbos Tia Mishnah should be doubled. V'chulta Isa Gamkin Lecha Mishnah Shira Omer Lechem Kafu double. He said, so therefore, he said, we learned it from the Pasuk. There are words in the Pasuk that actually tell us you have to have Lechem Mishnah. So is this a Chiyuv D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan? What would you say based on that? D'Oraisa, because it comes from the Oraisa. That's what the word means, right? Once you have it, so that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. He said that this isn't a V'nir Shazahu Din Torah. This is actually a biblical obligation. Why? It's not like it's the rabbis, but they found a word that we can hang our hat on. No, this is a real chiyuv, right? They said because miyutu legamri, because really we did not need these words in the pasuk at all. They are there. There is absolutely nothing that they're here to give us beyond this. That is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Prima Gadim disagrees. Shalosh Shuras Heim B'Derabbanan. Number four, he says that's the Rabbanan. Das Machnehu Gimel. Hayom, because of the name Din Torah. It's a machlokas. Some people say it's a Din Torah, some people say it's a Din D'Rabbanan, but the bottom line, everyone agrees. So the Aruch HaShulchan, it seems to have the majority opinion that this is actually a biblical obligation. Now, hold off on that for a second. We're now going to shift gears a little bit and discuss another issue. The next issue, which is closely related, is Shalosh Seudos. We know that on Shabbos we have to have three meals. The Ran asks a question, this obligation to eat three meals, is that an obligation only for men or even for women? So the Ran says, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam in number 5, Kosu Rabbeinu Tam, Zeloshono, the Noshim Chayavis B'Shalosh Seudos. Women are also chayav in three meals. And they're also chayav in Lechem Mishnah. Why? Right, we have a concept, let's say Chanukah is just around the corner-ish. And right, and we'll be in finals and be intercession, we'll be done. Don't worry about midterms. It's all like done already. So let's go. So what are we saying here? So Ner Chanukah, classic mitzvah sasesha as man grumba, it should be, right? Positive commandment, right? Only do it on the most wonderful time of the year, right? So therefore, we're talking about that mitzvah sasesha as man. Do women have to light Chanukah menorah? Why? Because afim hoyu b'oso aneis, that women either were active participants in the miracle of Chanukah, or they were actively saved, just like men were during Chanukah, and therefore. So it says, so too here. What nace are we commemorating with Shalosh Seudos? And what nace are we also commemorating with Lecha Mishnah? The nace of the man, right? So therefore, because who ate the man? The man. Was man for men? Right? No, man was for everybody. So he says, so therefore, that's why men and women alike are chayiv that they have to have Shalosh Seudos, and they also have to have Lecha Mishnah. The Ran says, I don't really get that, because he said, why did he have to tell me that this is like Chanukah? Isn't there a better answer? Why didn't he just say that women are chayiv in Shalosh Seudos and Lecha Mishnah? Because what we said at the beginning, that women are chayiv in all positive commandments when it comes to Shabbos, right? So therefore, he says, I'm not disagreeing with Rabbeinu Tam. I agree that women are chayiv. However, he says, I think that we didn't have to go there. He said, "Ain't tzacha kol ma'isa Shabbos ish v'isha shavin shavin ki yalfinim izocher v'shomer." So, right, so both Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran agree on the bottom line. They all agree that women have to have three meals. And they also agree that women have to have Lechem Mishnah. They just disagree on how we got there. But practically it doesn't seem to be a difference. It's interesting because the Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Tam in number 6. And he says that if anything, the Ran raises more questions than it answers. So why do we sit in the sukkah? That either there was anane hakovod that surrounded us when we were in the desert, or there were actual tents that helped us get by, and therefore, because of the miracle that we were able to survive 40 years in the desert, which is not an easy place to survive, right? We commemorated with sukkahs. Who lived in the sukkahs? Men, women, or everybody? Everybody. If everybody lived in the sukkah, so why do we say that women are not chayv in sukkah? Right? If you're going to expand the afim hayus oso hanes beyond the simple understanding of, you know, where it says so, like Hanukkah, Purim, Pesach, maybe, right? If you're going to start expanding it to Shabbos, so expand it also to sukkahs. So based on that, the Mordechai says that, you know, this expansion by Reinu Tam is, in fact, a little bit odd. So you look at the second half of number 6, the Haggah, the notes of the Haggah, Mordechai writes, "We didn't tell you, Nashim Chayavas Besukah, Afhein Hayu Ba'osu Anes, Anonei Akavod, Hayu Chayav B'matzo, Mitam Zer, U'matzo Rechatam Shalkol Yeshu B'Bal Yochal Chomit, Yeshu B'Bal Bekum Ba'ochal Matzo, V'yeshom B'Dero Kamrin, and Ha'tayma Elo B'Milsa D'Rabbanon." So the Mordechai suggests, and as well as Mordechai, that maybe Rabbeinu Tam took this too far. That this idea that Afim Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes, that should be limited only to Mitzvahs to Rabbanan. Chanukah and Purim, that's when you say, okay, we expand that to women as well. But when it comes to Mitzvahs D'Oraisa, you never expand it. If you never expand it, okay, so then that explains why you didn't expand Sukkah, and why you didn't expand it to Sukkah, correct? And not only that, but also it says to us that we should drop that idea when it comes to Lech HaMishnah as well. Mishnah Berurah number 7 is very clear. He says, Shtei Kiyaros Zecher Laman, Dixiv Roktu Lech HaMishnah, Vegam B'yantav Tzorach Yivtzor Al Shtei Kikaros. So the Mishnah Berurah is very straight. He says that we hold that we have a minhag that we use Lech HaMishnah even on Yontif, and we are following the opinion that the man did not fall on Yontif. For whatever reason, it didn't fall on Yontif. V'gam ha-noshim mechuyavos v'lech ha-mishnah shayu gam kem b'neis ha-man. Interesting, he chooses to follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, the afim hayu v'osa ha-neis. Unclear why he has to go that way. But he makes it clear that he believes that women are chayev in Lech HaMishnah. In fact, if you're going to say that Afim Hayu Ba'osu Hanes, it would seem that for some reason you're not comfortable putting this with everything else. That somehow this will be different than Kiddush for you, etc. Right? That somehow or another, there is a Havabina that under normal circumstances, women should not be obligated in Lech HaMishnah, and only because of this Afim, they get dragged back in. So Rav Shlomo Kruger in the Aleph Rav Shlomo makes an unbelievable statement. And he points out that this is Europe a while back, and he said that oftentimes men are making motzi and the women are not yet at the table. What's going on here? How come the women don't do Lech HaMishnah? Now this is an amazing thing, right? This is absolutely generational, right? After, if you're sitting at a Shabbos table, and the person in the front makes hamotzi, and they give you a piece of bread, how many people make another hamotzi when they get it? How many people have grandparents who make the motzi when they get it? Yeah, come on. Everyone's grandmother does it. We know it. Right? Right? Oddest thing ever. Totally generational. Right? Right? No one knows why, and you'll tell them whatever you want, and everyone's grandmother will continue to make the mochi when they get the challah. So that's what the question is. But wait a second. Right now, there's one person who has Lech HaMishnah. They're being mochi everybody else in Lech HaMishnah. And now, the women get it, and they make another bracha on it. And now, not only is it, they just blew the Lech HaMishnah. Because their bracha did not go on the two loaves. Their bracha went on a piece of bread. So the question is, what's going on here? Why don't the women care? Zeh l'masherah b'prima gadim shekasta b'shem avudam degam nashim chayavim b'lechem mishnah mikot afim hayu ba'osaneis. And don't tell me, well, women don't really need lechem mishnah because, for whatever reason, they do. V'dayti minag Yisrael toruhu ki ein deri avudam nirim b'zeh. So the Rav Shlomo Kugler says, you know what the answer is? The answer is that your grandmother is right, and the avudam arishon is wrong. Because whatever has been going on for generations, because if your grandmother's making the motzi, her mother did, and her mother beforehand, and her mother beforehand all did, and there's got to be a good reason for it. So he has an unbelievable idea. He says, if you look at Tosos and Chulin, right? Tosos and Chulin says, that among the miracles, this is a chiddush that took place in the desert was that what? That actually the desert bloomed. The truth of the matter is they could have just planted things. They didn't really need the man. So he says the unbelievable chiddush. The original plan was Hashem wanted to say, okay, you guys are in the Midbar, I'm going to make a miracle and start plowing the fields and start seeding it, and things will grow. You'll grow wheat, and you'll all be taken care of. However, the people, Jews aren't so good at waiting. You know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? So finally the Jews, they got up and Hashem said, they said, we have no food, we're going to starve. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, fine, I'll give you the man. But the man was b'dieved, the Shlomo Kugler says. That really, the man shouldn't have fallen. Rather, they should have just gone and used the more natural miracle. So he says, "Laros kama gerua adam zeh." The truth of the matter is that the man is, yes, it's a miracle, but on the other hand, it's a little bit of an insult to the people. Said, but who complained? It wasn't the women that complained. Once again, it was the men who complained. He said, so the entirety of the miracle of the man was a male miracle. Right? For the women didn't need it. The women were fine waiting. The women would have just had the natural things. It was because of the sin of the men that's why it had to happen. So he says, so therefore, this whole Zecher Laman of Lechem Mishnah, that the women are putter from, because the women never needed this miracle. Only those rotten, good-for-nothing men, they're the ones who needed the miracle. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Kugler comes with this idea that, in fact, women are not chayiv in Lechem Mishnah. Because Lechem Mishnah was a distinctly male miracle that was not necessary to the women, and therefore, the men, they have to make Lechem Mishnah, but when your grandmother gets the piece of challah, she can make a hamotzi on her own, because she doesn't need this. They're not chayiv in it. Unbelievable chiddush. And in fact, that's the reason why everybody's grandmother does this, mine included. That's the reason that, and you tell them what you want. You ever try to stop it? Impossible. They know better. Forget it. That is quite the chiddush. As we pointed out, we've discussed up until now, right? That maybe Rabbeinu Tam is right, it's because Zecher L'Neis. Maybe the Ran is right, that Shomer V'Zachar. Maybe it's the Raisa, like the Aruch HaShulchan said. Maybe it's the Rabbanan, like the Prima Gadim said. But it seemed that everybody seemed to agree on one thing, right? Women are chayiv in Lechem Mishnah, just like men are, for whatever reason. It all ends up in the same place. Or Shlomo Kugler gets up and says it's not so. The Aruch HaShulchan has always been a staunch defender of all minhagim, but he, in fact, will not defend this one. Right? He, in fact, follows the Ran, says Shomer V'Zachar, women are chayiv.
Right?
Therefore, the Baal HaBayis should wash his hands and sit and wait until everybody is done and sitting there, the Aruch HaShulchan says. Because they're all Chayv Mishnah and Aruch Mishnah. If they call lachem, they are mesuvim lachem mishnah. Become makom hal lifnei anoshim ain't darach litim lifnei and lachem mishnah. Some places they give out rolls. This is another interesting thing. In my house where I grew up, we never did this. My father made lachem, made hamotzi for everybody. And the first when I got engaged, you know, so the first time my in-laws came over, my father did that, and my father-in-law walked out and said, the first time in my life I didn't have lachem mishnah. I'd never been to a house where they didn't give me lachem. Sit there and grumbled. This is around 28 years now he's been grumbling about this. So, you know, because he said, that was a minig by some places, wasn't our minig, that in fact, that everyone got their own, but nobody ever put lechem mishnah in front of the women. So the Baal HaBayis will be motzi the women. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan says clearly that the best thing to do is one lechem mishnah, everybody washes, everybody sits quietly, and then you motzi everybody. That's the way it should be done. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman. Is that a question?
I actually did have a question.
Okay.
I was wondering if, let's say it's not an obligation, so why does that mean that like they have to say their own hamotzi? Like, still you can't be under the man's hamotzi if you're
So the answer we'll discuss a little bit is in general, when we come to Birchas HaMitzvah, we say Berovam Hadras Melech. It's better if one person is motzi lots of people. That's not true when it comes to Birchas HaNehanin. Right? It's really better if I make my mizonos and you make your mizonos. In the event that this isn't a mitzvah anymore, it's just a birchas hananin. So therefore, you know, that's very nice you made hamotzi on your bread. I'm going to make hamotzi on my bread now. So that would be the reason why, if there's no reason to do it, you probably shouldn't even do it that way. Only if it's a birchas hamitzvah, then it would be a requirement. This sociological phenomenon of people making their own brachas, came to Rav David Tzvi Hoffman. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman was a Rebbe in the Hildesheimer Academy in the early 20th century. He was in Germany, as the word Hildesheimer would indicate. And he says, so he hears about Hungarians. The whole thing scared him. Hine v'medinas Ungarin re'isi nogim she'achar she'birach bal habayis birchas hamotzi b'shabbos no same prusa l'chol echad me'ochei ha'shulchano mevorach kol echad la'atzmo. I couldn't believe this. I was by a bunch of Hungarians one time, and besides all those chandeliers, the guy made hamotzi and he gives out the challah, and everybody's making their own bracha. It blew his mind. However, in southern Germany, right, obviously they would not allow the other people to make a bracha. Why are you making another bracha? It's a bracha of Atola. I was just motzi you. And it's not just by hamotzi, right? And when you make kiddush in the sukkah, so not only do you make the kiddush, you also say shachianu, and you also say leishi basukkah. And not everyone makes their own bracha, rather the person in charge makes the bracha on behalf of everybody. So that sounds right. One is, can you be yotze? And two is, can you volunteer to make your own bracha? No, you're already yotze. That's a bracha levatola. So that's the question that came to him, that it seems that there were these two different minhagim, that there were people who followed the Shulchan Aruch, the Yekis, pretty straight people. That's it, that's what it says, that's what we do, thank you very much, no room for discussion. But suddenly in Hungary, it became a chasir shemal avabok, everyone was doing whatever they wanted. What's going on? What kind of business is that? So he writes as far as tshuva, number 10, where if anyone lost count. Hinei keminag Ungarin, or Hungaria, ken gam keminag Poland v'Rusland. It's not just the Hungarians, I tell you. It's also the Polaks. It's also the Russians. Chinog gam berov Ashkenaz, kar matzah libo z'chus hazeh b'shochan arosh ha'agom reino rav shner zalman. He said, there's a lot of people doing this, and there's a libo z'chus in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Right? Bala Tanya also wrote a halacha sefer, known as the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and there he tries to, you know, explain what's going on. Said, so in general, it's better if one person makes a bracha. However, he says that technically, if you want, we could all sit together, and I could also, in mind, I want to make my own bracha. What's the reason why? Speaking about Chasir Shemal of Malkus, he said that there was a problem that people, between the bracha and eating, they would start schmoozing. So since they started schmoozing, they weren't yotze with the bracha, and therefore they had to make another bracha. That's the best you got? That's the reason why they're making the bracha? Because people are so used to, can you tell the people to be quiet just for 1 minute? Would it be too much to ask for? Right, so he says that's the answer. Obviously, he said the best thing to do is tell the people, you know, just another minute, if we could all just remain quiet, right, until we eat the challah. It's not a long time. That would be the best. So the Malamed Lahoel talks about this idea that people are making their brachas on those. Again, we're dealing with the question that there is this tradition that somehow crept in, that either mostly women or people in general, we started making their own bracha. So the first approach we had was called women aren't chayiv in this. Okay, that's a chiddush, hard to accept. And the second one is, well, the reason is because they just keep on jabbering. Rav Sternberg has a number of svarim. One of them is on the Gemara called Avshat Vehayin. Rav Sternberg has a very interesting approach to it. We'll do it outside. I'll just explain it, where he says as follows. He says, we had mentioned in response to the semi-question before that there is when we talk about Kiddush, or if we talk about Hamotzi even more so, there's really two aspects to the bracha. There's the bracha, there's the concept that there's a berachas hananin, right? You're going to have a meal now, yeah? And you're going to have bread before, and so you have to make a bracha, a hamotzi. That's aspect number one. And then there is a second aspect that it's a berachas hamitzvah, right? Either there's a mitzvah of Kiddush, there's a mitzvah of Havdalah, this comes up as well, there's a mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah, and that's the reason, right? Because there are two aspects of it, right? He says that it's not one of these simple cases of a leshe basuka, right? No one in their right mind would say that you take out a shofar in Rosh Hashanah and the Baal Tokeya makes a bracha, we all say amen, and then we all make our own brachas, right? That I've never seen, and that wouldn't make any sense, because that's a straight out birchas hamitzvah, right? However, on the other hand, he said, because there is an aspect of the concept that we have here, not just a birchas hamitzvah, but orchas a birchas hananin, you can bifurcate. I answered amen to your hamotzi, and with that I was yotzei the mitzvah of lechem mishnah. But now, for the birchas hananin of me eating the bread, I'm going to make another hamotzi, because in that I don't want to be yotze. It's better to make your own bracha when it comes to there. Now that happens to be very important for the following reason. It is not uncommon for people to be celiac or gluten intolerant. Right? My wife is gluten intolerant. I tell people my wife's gluten intolerant. I'm just generally intolerant. Right? It works out well. And therefore, right, so does she have to have, so she has these oat rolls, which look and taste like hockey pucks. So, does she have to have a hockey puck mishnah? Is that, or could she be yotze with my lecha mishnah, even though she's not going to eat from it? I remember one time years ago, we had a couple over, and the wife said that she's gluten intolerant. So So she asked if I could put my if her roll could go next to my challah, so there would be it would be part of the lechem mishnah that she was eating, but not too close because she doesn't want to get any gluten on it. I'm going to be very nervous about this. You know, what is that sweet spot of not too close? But. So according to this approach, that you are bifurcating the two, right? Well, then you can talk about it, right? There is a lechem. There is this idea that there is a chiyuv of lechem mishnah. Someone holds up a lechem mishnah and says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and you say Amen. You are now yotzei lechem mishnah. Now you want to have challah because you're having a meal, right? Arguably, right? That's fine. You don't even have to eat from that challah. You can eat from your gluten free challah according to this svara. Because there's two separate things. They're two unrelated things. You have the concept of the Birchas HaMitzvah, L'chud, and the Birchas HaNedin, also L'chud. So that's his answer. So that's the reason why many grandmothers have gotten up this idea that they are, in fact, going to make another bracha, because, okay, he's going to this idea that once you were Yotzei, the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah, now it's just a matter of a Birchas HaNedin. I need to make a bracha before I eat my bread. And that would be fine. The Eshel Avram is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, Yotzin Yidei Chovash Lechem Mishnah B'Shmir. He has this idea. He says that to be Yotzei Lechem Mishnah, you just need to hear it. What does that sound like? Sounds like this idea that we just had. You don't actually have to eat the challah at all, right? Right. I hear someone, right, just like Kiddush. Definitely, I hear you make Kiddush. I say, I mean, I don't have to drink from the Kiddush. I might want it. I don't have to, right? So too, he says, it's the same rule with Lechem Mishnah. Once I hear the bracha, I am Yotzei. Gam she bracha shall nenin ene yotzi de chavasu bevarach b'fnei atzmo. We call mako mitzvah lachamu shal b'tziya kodem hanos ha'achira masni b'kach shrichus v'mahani gam kodem netila shadayim. Not only that, he says another chiddush, unbelievable. What if someone, right, so this Shabbos is the earliest chatzos of the year. Very exciting. No one besides me is excited about it, but I am, right? So a person should not be fasting until Chatzos on Shabbos. Person, so what time is Chatzos this Shabbos? Anyone want to guess? Does it say on the board? 11:37, according to the Aron Zmanim over there. Right? That's pretty early, right? If you're diving in at 9 o'clock minyan, it's going to be tight. So at the Rav family this Shabbos, we start lunch at 11:30, but we start at 11:30. Right? This week we don't play around because it's really close. It's a 9, actually. So you got 2 more minutes. So what happens for the inevitable guy who wanders in late? Right? So I'm not going to be waiting for that person. Right? So according to this, if that person hears me say, make the Hamotzi and Lechem Mishnah, and he says, Amen, he was Yotzei Lechem Mishnah. Now he can wash on a piece of bread, and that's fine. I'm not saying everybody agrees to this, but this would explain that idea. Among the Hasidim, this seems to be a significant problem. Among the Hasidim in particular, this idea that women are not having Lechem Mishnah is a problem that has developed over the years, and it's something that's written about. Moshe Stern, the Ber Moshe. The Ber Moshe is, if you go to the YU-based Medrash, I don't know if you have one here, but we have one on the shelf, and Dr. David Berger likes to point out, a lot of fun because you open up the index, there's one tshuva that's circled. And that is the one where he writes, it's usur to go to YU. And so in fact, you know, David Berger says, somebody realized that everybody who's opening up the book, it's for the same reason. So he was kind enough to circle what you're looking for. You don't have to bother. No one ever reads any other part of it. We just, it's like it's one of our musr svarim. We put it in the musr section. Chap al chetz. So, there are other tshuvas, surprisingly, besides that one. And one of them is on this topic. He says, Hinei yadu avein makum apalpaz, eshagam nashim chayavas b'mitzvah lechem mishnah. He says, everybody knows that at the end of the day, women are, what we read in the Ha'elef Lashlomo, and the Shlomo Kluger, That's rejected. I mean, that's a very original thought, but nobody really follows that. Right? So he gives off a whole list of people that are saying it. And he says not only that, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. He said, and if you disagree, okay, it's the Rabbanan. It's a Rabbanan that comes from the Gemara, right? It's a pretty serious one. And therefore, it's incumbent on everybody to make sure that everyone in their family does the mitzvah, men and women alike. Therefore, the women should get roles also in front of them. Just like we give out to the boys in the bar mitzvah, give to the girls. Why in the Hasidic households do the boys get and the girls don't? Why isn't there rabbis aren't yelling in the streets? How terrible this is. You gotta start making sure the women have lechem mishnah. It must be that being yotze with the fathers or with their husbands. So therefore, we have to make sure that the women are listening to the brachas. And if the women are going to go make a bracha afterwards, which seems to be a common minimum, they're not going to be yotze. So Rav Stern was very upset. So therefore, he suggests, He said, there are a lot of great rebbes that they sit at the tish. And they're surrounded by all their chassidim, and they have a big chalon, they make a hamoitzi, and everyone says amen, and they cut it up, and then they ship it into another room where their wife is sitting. Their wife never heard the bracha, the wife was nowhere near it. So how in the world do they think that the Holy Rebbetzin is being yotzei the lechem mishnah? So he complains about this. So he said, must be as follows. So he says, we got our rabbi. She has no idea when the lechem mishnah was cut. Little less does he hear about it. So it must be that the rebbe to me, the rebbe a shliach to be a motzi here in the bracha. So he comes up with this big chiddush that even though she never heard it and she doesn't know when it happens, she says, I'm making my husband a shliach that he should be mekayim lechem mishnah for me. And that must be what's going on. Okay, he says so. Another interesting point is from the Kloisenberger, the Divrei Yitziv. So he says that he has the following interesting comment. He says, Lecha Mishnah, what are we commemorating exactly? It's very interesting. Like we mentioned earlier on, the idea of why do we have Lecha Meshulash? Right? Right? Or a 3-day Yantiv, Lecha Meruba. Like there should be four rolls. Right? There's also a fascinating machlokas if someone has to eat on Yom Kippur. Do you have Lecha Mishnah? Actually discussed in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Nosei Kelim. Some people say, how much money do you think fell on Erev Yom Kippur? You think that Lechem Mishnah on Erev Yom Kippur? That's odd. So among the things that they point out is, what are we actually commemorating here when we talk about Lechem Mishnah? We're talking that the miracle, if we were going to do really so this is Shabbos, and then this is miracle, you know how many loaves we should have? We should have zero, because that's what fell on Shabbos. The miracle of Lechem Mishnah happened on Erev Shabbos. Right? So the Kloisenberger says, really, the mitzvah Lechem Mishnah doesn't apply so much to Shabbos as it does for Erev Shabbos. That therefore, when the woman bakes the challahs, and she bakes the double challahs, That's really the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. Now, it's a mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah because it's going to be used on Shabbos. It's a Shabbos-related mitzvah. But he comes up with this idea, since in fact it's the women that have prepared it, that they don't have to partake in it because they were already yotzei by actually commemorating what the miracle was by the preparation for Shabbos beforehand. If you ask me, this is all apologetics. I don't think anyone would have said this. They weren't stuck with the problem that everyone was doing it. Right? But the bottom line is as follows, that we definitely hold that there is a mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. The overwhelming majority of the poskim hold that this is a mitzvah that applies to men and women alike. It's Machokas Rishonim why it applies to women, but at the end of the day, according to all of the opinions, it does apply for women. There is one opinion that says not that way. It's a nice collector's item. You say it over at the Shabbos table, you impress your friends. But in terms of halacha, it doesn't really carry much weight. And therefore, men and women alike should be very careful to be mekayim this mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. And that means listening to the bracha, answering amen, and eating it. Now, in the event that you have a strange situation, that you can't eat the bread because of celiac, whatever the problem is, there are shitas that in fact will cover it. And they will also explain what your grandmother's been doing all these years. But that being said, as the Aruch HaShulchan said, it's probably best not to make a bracha and just to be yotzei. Any questions? Yes?
How come we're not mafit to say to have Lecha Mishnah at Shal Shabbos, but some people don't?
This is very interesting. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. The Shulchan Aruch explains, actually, I was once a scholar in residence in Memphis, Tennessee. Anyone here from Memphis? So I was in Memphis for, I think, 7 weeks, and I was getting absolutely nowhere. I could not connect with anybody. I was giving shiurim, and I was talking to the wall. I just felt that I was actually accomplishing nothing. And then at one point, Achva came to town. Achva West, I think, or South or North, comes through Memphis. And we were talking about this topic. So it's based on the Medrash. The Medrash says, so if Lecha Mishnah fell on Fridays, so every day they got an Omer, and they split it in half, and they ate two meals. Right? So they on Friday, you got two Omers, and you end up making how many loaves out of that? Again, math majors? Four. Very good. Right? So one you would eat for lunch on Friday. Going into Shabbos, we had how many rolls left? You can do this. Now, what? Three. Sai Sims? So now you've got three. You have Lecha Mishnah on Friday night, right? You cut one, you eat one. Going Shabbos day, you have how many left?
Two.
Now, two. Good, very good. Okay, right? Now, you eat one of those. How many do you have left for the last meal?
One.
You only have one. So they didn't have Lecha Mishnah by Shal Shudas. So that's the reason why not. So it happens to be, I was doing this with these kids from Achva, and I said, now how many do we have now? I said, you have two, and you eat one. How many do you have for Shal Shudas? And the kid yells out, zero. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. That was so close. But for appearing on our show today, you get a year's supply of turtle wax. And some guy, turtle wax, before your time. So some guy just breaks out. He comes up to me with tears in his eyes. He said, Rabbi, I watch the game show channel every day. When you said that thing about turtle wax, it touched me. And I said, now it's time to get out. Before any last bit of gray matter disappears, it's time for us to leave Memphis right now. How is that? Any other questions? Yes?
If we said that it's best to have one,
I know you go to Bar Mitzvah, now you get your own kids. You have to give your own challah rolls, don't they? Don't they do both? Right. No, so again, as I said, my father was insisting that you offer him to make your own motzi. So when he's come residence of the Lower East Side, don't forget to take care of him. But it's interesting. I've been to places where the lady of the house has made her motzi. Yes, people have seen that?
Yeah.
Right? Right? So according to Shlomo Kluger, no one was yotze. Thank you. But we don't remember. Just mention that next time. Thanks for thinking of us. Yes.
What about by halal? Doesn't it like the cause you make the bracha and then you repeat it? Isn't it like here also we're saying about a mitzvah, how does it cause you repeat it? Like the person would say
You mean like these challah bakes where everyone gets together? Is that what we're talking about?
Also there.
Well, where else? I mean,
isn't challah also made?
My grandmother made challah. She made the bracha. I didn't make the bracha afterwards. She did a great job. Challah was yummy. What?
No, I was saying about, like, the whole idea was if it's a mitzvah and
one person should be motzi other people.
Right. And if we're saying it's never repeated.
Right.
Like, if one person is being motzi everyone, like, they don't repeat it. But then how come by halal one person is saying the bracha?
By halal?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said halal. Right. So that's a good question. And in fact, I generally don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, but always by Halo and Sfira, I make sure to say Baruch Hu Shemo to make sure I'm not Yotzei with the other person's bracha. Right? Tefillah might be different. That's probably the answer. The answer is not so much. It's not really a mitzvah. It's more of part of the davening. Right? Just like I make my own Shemona Esrei, and I make my own brachas in the morning, and my own Berachas Kriya Shema. So this would be the same thing. Yes.
Even without washing?
The Eshel Avram says that, yes.
Okay, so it's interesting, but on Shabbos, when Simon was here, he was explaining this whole shaila that he got about someone whose hands bled whenever they wash. So they were wondering if they were chayav. So he looked at it from a Hilchos Shabbos standpoint. I was wondering if this is what's misumacha in terms of washing.
Well, again, so the person wants to eat bread?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to wash for bread. Like, that's not a Shabbos thing. Like, on Tuesdays, you also have to wash for bread.
So they were saying that because it was causing blood and whatever, then what should
we
do?
Right, so again, so would Simon tell him to wear gloves? That would work. Mm-hmm.
If you say that, like, for example, Megillah or Neiros Chaim Agar, even maybe Dalit Kotzot, women could hear the they also have the Afeno Yubos, and I said they could hear, would that be relying that for women only to hear the bracha of Lechem Mishnah and not eat? According to...
Well, again, that's a little different, you know. When it comes to Megillah, only the person who's reading the Megillah that reads it, right? That makes the bracha, right? Well, again, it's not different. Again, it's not really that different than shofar. We shmoa kol shofar, right? Right. We do it in that case, right? When it comes to Hanukkah candles, that's a little different, you know. That's already different minhagim because of ner ishu beso. That's the case where we do encourage more people to do it. So, you know, whatever. Minhag Sfarad is not that way. You know, Minhag Ashkenaz for married women is not that way. But, you know, that's already a little different because we encourage more people to do it because of that. All right. Thank you very much.